Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas en los diferentes países que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite...
Good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters in different countries who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite and other means of communication. And also those who will be listening to or reading today's teaching. Today, Friday, January 30 of this year, 2026, let's search in the book of Exodus in chapter 19, verse 4 and on, where it tells us, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God's treasure. You may please be seated if you're so kind. That treasure of God is that Hebrew people where it tells us here in this message the final call to the 12 tribes of Israel, which was preached on March 19 of 2017 here in Cayey, Puerto Rico. It says, "The northern tribes continued with idolatry. They were the tribes that set up two golden calves, one in Dan and the other in Bethel, and that was a cause of sin in the northern tribes, and that golden calf has brought many problems upon Israel. It brought problems in the time of Moses, and now we see that it also brought problems in the time of the king Jeroboam, who was the king of the 10 northern tribes, which were given to him because of Solomon's sin, the sin of idolatry." Now notice there in Kings, 1 Kings, it shows us the reason why God was angry with Solomon. Look, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon called unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." And there he draws a Star of David on the left. "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites." And there on the right he writes, Ashtoreth. And he also writes, Milcom. Milcom equals Moloch. "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." And a little Star of David there to the left. "Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And there to the left he writes, twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, and there on the left he writes, servant, notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rent it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And on the left he writes David, and he writes Jerusalem. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. There below, look in the margin, he writes, Hadad, descendant of Esau, brother and servant of Israel. Genesis 27, 36 to 37. Hadad, descendant of Esau, brother and servant of Israel. Now, look, he goes on to say, and now we can see that the kingdom was divided into two parts, 10 tribes for the northern kingdom and 2 tribes to the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, which is made up of Judah and Benjamin. That is why we find that later on it was called the kingdom of Judah, or the southern kingdom, and the one with the 10 tribes was called the kingdom of Israel. There in the same chapter 11, in verse 26, look, it says, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Ephrati of Sarida, Solomon's servant, that there, notice, the Lord had already said it, that he would give unto him a kingdom. He would break the kingdom, and he would give it to his servant. And here is that servant, which was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Ephrati of Sarida. And there on the left he writes, Ephra equals Ephraim. Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Millo and repaired the branches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. There he writes on the right, the garment equals the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, God is fulfilling there what he said to Solomon back then. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, that is, he would keep 1 tribe, which is the one of Judah, and the one of Benjamin. In other words, Solomon would be left with that tribe, which his son Rehoboam ended up with. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because that they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the god of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. And there he draws a star of David there to the left. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, meaning Rehoboam, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. And I will take thee. Remember that in that messianic kingdom, there shall be one Lord, says the scripture, and his name one, because he is the one who will be reigning over all nations from Jerusalem, and he will reign for all the nations. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be kingdom over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Now look, there he writes, on the left, upwards, dynasty, and he writes, will be adopted. In other words, if it passed the test, his dynasty would be adopted. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now look, in chapter 12 of 1 Kings, it tells us there about what Jeroboam did by setting up those 2 golden calves. Look, in chapter 12 of 1 Kings, verse 16, it says, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. And on the left he writes, David. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them, and the king Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And there on the left he writes, tributes or taxes. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was called to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin and 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel to bring the kingdom again to Jeroboam, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Now notice, here, those two tribes joined together, the one of Judah and the one of Benjamin, and they were chosen warriors. And notice, they were going to wage war against those 10 northern tribes to bring that kingdom back to Rehoboam, that is, to take away the kingdom that was given to Jeroboam, so that they would be one kingdom. Notice the desire of David's son, Rehoboam. It was that the kingdom wouldn't be divided, that it would be joined together. And that desire is the same desire that a descendant of David, someone from that line, would have. And later on, in Ezekiel, we will see later on where that would become a reality. Those two sticks would be in the prophet's hand again. That is what Rehoboam wanted. He had good intentions, because for the establishment of that Messianic kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north and the 2 tribes of the south had to be joined together into one kingdom. And seeing them divided there, he knew that the kingdom could not be established that way, or could not continue to be unified like in the days of David. See? And he continues there in verse 22. I am in chapter 12 of 1 Kings. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. Notice, it was already a divine decree that was spoken there, that the kingdom would be divided there, that it would be broken, and that 10 tribes would be given to Solomon's servant, which was Jeroboam. And he, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, could not interfere with that word, because that was what God had said that would happen. But that at the end of time, those two sticks would be joined together in the hand of the prophet. Notice, in the hands of a man, what Rehoboam was going to do there. They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Because it's better to be obedient and act according to what God has said in His word. Now, it continues saying there, verse 25, Then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if these people go up to the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Notice that the bad intention that Jeroboam had there, whereupon the king took counsel, that is, having gathered there, in that council, and it made two calves of gold, and said unto them, and there on the left he writes, two calves. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now notice, it wasn't fulfilled there, because of what Jeroboam did, what had been said to Jeroboam there, in chapter 11, verse 38, was not fulfilled, because he did not follow the statutes and commandments that David had followed. So his dynasty was not adopted because of what he did there. Now look, he continues to say here, I am in the message, the final call of the 12 tribes of Israel. He continues saying, but the promise is that the 10 northern tribes will be joined together with the 2 southern tribes, with the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And therefore, the kingdom of David and the throne of David will be restored. The 10 northern tribes are also called the lost tribes of Israel because they were scattered throughout different nations and even lost their identity as a tribe. That is why we find that at the end time, this is the hidden treasure that the Lord found and was and then kept. And at this end time, he will call and gather everyone who is part of that hidden treasure of Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Let's read that scripture of Matthew chapter 13, where it says there, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, and he writes there to the right, Israel, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And he writes Revelation 11:15-19. Now, look, also here in the book of the seals, it tells us at the bottom of the page 463, it says, so, God remembers. Notice, but now let's see here. Let's go a little further up, where he finished reading that scripture there, the one we just read. Look, let's go a bit further up, where the scripture of 1 Kings 12:25-30 ends. And it says, see Ephraim at Bethel, and Dan, and they set up idols, and this went out to worship this. And here we are, plumb down into the millennium age, almost. And on top of plumb down into the millennium age, he writes, in the great tribulation. And on the left, he writes Ephraim, at the margin. And God still remembers that sin. They are not even counted in there. Hey, glory! Just as sure as he remembers every good promise, he remembers every one evil too. Do not think that God forgets the evil things that people have done against the divine program. That's the reason, I believe, friends, I've always tried to stay with that word, no matter how strange it seems. Now, they wouldn't think about that there then. They didn't think about it then. They thought, well, they got by with it, all right. But here, they are over here in this millennium age, setting in, when their names and tribes is bloated out from it, because they served idolatry that God cursed. Didn't he say he hated the Nicolaitans and that Jezebel? Stay away from it. Didn't he say that he would kill Jezebel's daughters with the killing of death, which is eternal separation from his presence? Don't trust in it. at all. Get away from it. So God remembers. But did you notice there it was to be blotted out? Why? Under heaven, there was no immediate sacrifice that could give him the Holy Spirit to let him see these things. But he did it anyhow, in his own selfish mind. But Ezekiel, in his vision in the millennium, he sees them again in perfect order. Ezekiel, if you wanted to read it, just put it down, and you can read it to save time. Ezekiel 48, 1 to 7, also the 23rd and to 29. Ezekiel seen every tribe just exactly in order, all right. And also, in Revelation 14, John seen them again in the tribal order, that's right, every tribe to his place. What happened? You remember, he said, under the heavens, there on the left, he writes upwards, under heaven, that his name would be blotted out of the tribal affairs as long as he was under the heavens. There would be no more. And his 144,000 is down here in the tribal part yet, right? But you see, they had been blinded. They had only the sacrifices to bulls and goats. And notice, he blotted them out under the heaven. But the Gentile, in the day of the Holy Spirit against that, your name was taken completely of the book of life. Now, there on the right he writes, the book of life. And could never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. That's right. So there is where we stand. Israel, under goats, sheep, they did have a place as long as they was on the earth here. Their tribes was missing. They could never be included. Now, when he called them over there, the 144,000, they were missing. That's right. They were not even numbered in there. And Joseph and Levi is put in the place of Dan and Ephraim. Now you can look at that. Right there it is. Before you, see? And here is God's promise way back there. Hundreds and hundreds of years before that. Now, what happened? They were purged during the time of the awful tribulation period. Now, if God is going to purge that virgin that was a good woman, but she just failed to get oil in her lamp, and he is going to purge her through persecution in there. He puts them tribes right in there for the same thing and purges them during the time of the tribulation period because it is a purging, it's judgment. And there he writes, they have no specific number. On the left, upwards. And on the right, upwards, he writes there, the two tribes go through the great tribulation. The foolish virgins are the type. Remember that those tribes are scattered all over the planet Earth. And look here, here comes up the 144,000 after the purging of Israel, and here comes up also the sleeping virgins comes up, purged and has white robes on. See how perfect that is, their theophanies. Now remember, that is why they are resurrected after the great tribulation. Otherwise, if they didn't have the white robes, they couldn't be resurrected. But notice that the foolish virgins, they resurrect after the millennium. Now, we see there, let's say, without counting the unbelievers, we see three groups there. There's the bride. There is the 144,000, and there is the foolish. Now, of the tribes, only two tribes are identified, and more so identified there in Israel. How perfect, how beautiful that is. just like Jacob in the time of trouble. See, Jacob in the time of trouble, he had done wrong, but he went through the purging time because he had wronged his brother Esau. See, he deceived to get his birthright, but he went through the purging because he could have his name changed from Jacob to Israel, which is a type of the order of God typed today. And there on the left he writes, Jacob equals Israel. Now remember, that name will be changed to Israel. Now, he continues to say here in the message that we're reading, and with these ministries, a little further on in this message, and with these ministries of the two olive trees, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah for the end time, the two olive trees of Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 to 11, and Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 14, there we have the divine revelation of how he will gather the treasure he has hidden. He will gather it. Those are the Jews. That is why we read at the beginning in chapter 19, verse 5 of Exodus, that God says, "You are my peculiar treasure, the treasure that is scattered, hidden among all nations, is the seed of Israel, the seed of Abraham." It's the Jews scattered throughout the entire world, and the most important part of that treasure are the 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, because they are the ones who will be eunuchs in the millennium, tending to the king and the queen, assisting the son of David, the king promised to the Hebrew people, the prince of peace, descendant of King David, who will sit on the throne of David and restore the kingdom of David. Now, surely, we have met many of those eunuchs, or we know them, or some of them we will meet them soon, because the bride, by being the one who will reign, notice, they are going to meet them somehow. Now look, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 and on, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture that they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet to receive you of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. see, all those northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes were dispersed there because of the oppressions that they were. Therefore, will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And there on the left he writes, shepherd, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And he writes shepherd, and he writes David, because the son of David is the one who would have them in his hand again, what Rehoboam wanted to do back then. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And he writes David, now, by he, God, giving the promise that once again that kingdom, those tribes will be fed by David, just as the word was spoken for that kingdom to be broken, and it was fulfilled. Then, also, when the word is spoken, in which those 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes will be unified, that will also be a reality, and that kingdom and throne of David will be able to be established again. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and on the left he writes, covenant of peace. And will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will rise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. And he writes house of Israel, and he also writes 10 tribes. Says the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Now notice, he says, he continues to say, this restoration is promised in Ezekiel chapter 37, and it is also promised in chapter 34. Therefore, the one who will sit on David's throne will be the David, the son of David. Let's turn to chapter 37, verse 15. Look, it says, the promise is there, and the result of that promise. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, chapter 37, verse 15 of Ezekiel, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions. Now, in verse 17, it goes on to say, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand, that is, in the hand of the prophet. And the stick whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, meaning they will see who would join those two sticks together. In other words, they will see him. Remember when, in the book of quotations, Reverend William Branham says there, in that portion, of page 22, notice in the book of quotations, in paragraph 176, he says, and there's them two witnesses, and when they tormented the church, or the world, by their preachings, and receiving back the Jews, and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on, when they see Jesus coming for his bride, they will say, lo, this is our God whom we waited on. That's him. But he's not coming for them. He comes for his bride. And further down he says, the same thing those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now of the persecution, running them back into the homeland. It's showing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. And when the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride, and they see him, they shall say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. And above that he writes, the Jews sees Christ coming for his bride. Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, Moses and Elijah, and their preaching torment. Further up he had written also the tenth vision. Now, notice, they will see that work which that descendant of David would be doing in favor of those two sticks. It says, verse 21, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. From that point on, that kingdom will never be broken again. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. With the Holy Spirit being incarnate, idolatry will not be permitted. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And on the right he writes, David, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. And on the right he writes, David, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. And he writes, covenant of peace, on the right. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them, and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now, notice, we see it here. We see those two sticks in the hand of the prophet. Now, look, he says, he continues saying, now, remember that when he promises that David will sit on the throne and reign, that is referring to a descendant of King David, who will sit on the throne of David and bear the title of the David, the son of David. Now, on page 142 in the book of Quotations,
allí nos dice,
he tells us there,
142,
paragraph
1274,
it says, now, when Jesus came to the earth, he came in the name of three sons, Son of Man, which is a prophet, Son of God, and Son of David. Now, he lived here on earth. He never did say he was the Son of God. He said, I am the Son of Man. Jehovah himself called Ezekiel and the prophets Son of Man because he had to come to fulfill Scripture as a prophet. Moses said, the Lord your God shall rise up a prophet like an unto me. That's the reason he could not be the Son of God there, because he was the Son of Man. The Word came to the prophets, and he was the Word in its fullness, Son of Man, the major prophet, not the major prophet, but the God prophet. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him. Therefore, he was the Son of Man. Now, for 2,000 years, he had been known to us as Son of God, Spirit, and in the millennium, he'll be Son of David upon the throne. And on the right, he writes millennium, and he writes the throne. We all know that, who believe the Scripture. Now, Jesus said, just at the end of this church age that we're living in, that the Son of Man would be revealed again in the same manner as it was at Sodom. And he writes to the right in a prophet, and above he writes the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. And in a Bible study where they put this excerpt for him, he writes there, Son of Man, Prophet, Son of God, Holy Spirit, Son of David, King, the Word incarnate in a man. But he didn't continue there. Son of Abraham, the royal grant. He is granted royalty, the kingdom of God. I will read it again. Son of Man, Prophet, Son of God, Holy Spirit, Son of David, King, the Word incarnate in, Son of Abraham, the royal grant. He is granted royalty, the kingdom of God. On page 143, it also tells us there, notice on paragraph 1277 it says, and now it had the picture taken many times, and it hangs in Washington, D.C. as a copyright in the Religious Hall of Art as the only supernatural being that was ever scientifically proven to be photographed the same pillar of fire exactly in the same look and every way that brought Israel out of Egypt, and on the right he writes logos. I believe it's Jesus Christ in spirit form, in the sonship of God, for he was called Son of Man when he came first. Now he is called Son of God. In the millennium, he'll be Son of David. And he writes millennium on the left. A little further up, where he talked about the pillar of fire, he writes the pillar of fire on the left. He came Son of Man, a prophet, as was spoke of him. Now he is Son of God, in supernatural, and he draws a star of David there on the right. In the great millennium, and he writes millennium on the left again, that is to come, he will be Son of David, sitting on the throne of David. And on top he writes, Son of Man, Prophet, Son of God, Spirit, Son of David, in the millennium, the Spirit incarnate. Now, in the millennium, notice, he would already be incarnate, because in the midst of the church, he would already be getting crowned by the church bride. On page 134, from the book of the seals, it says, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, that is why he says there, that during the ages, during the dispensation of grace, that Spirit was in the midst of the church through each messenger in a portion, but at the end time, he will be incarnate, he will become incarnate, it says in the person. Now, let's read it. The one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the form, in the person of Jesus Christ, that is the second coming of the Lord. We will crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the person of Jesus Christ, meaning in a member of the church of the Lord. He would be fulfilling the second coming of the Lord, and that is when that spirit will be crowned, because no spirit can be crowned, rather, it must be incarnate. Now, he writes on top, the Holy Spirit incarnate. And here we already see him as Son of David, that Holy Spirit incarnate, reigning in the millennium. We can already see who will be reigning there in the millennium. Now, also, look on page 148 in the book of Quotations, paragraph 1316, page 148, paragraph 1316, it says, now, Jesus came in three names, Son of Man, which is a prophet, Son of God, which went through the church age, then Son of David. But in between the Son of God, and he writes there on top of that Holy Spirit, but in between the Son of God and Son of David, according to his own word and according to Malachi 4 and many scriptures, he is to return back into his church in physical form, in the people, in human beings, in the way of being a prophet. And on top he writes, in that whole sentence, 4th Elijah, 5th Elijah, 2nd Moses, 2nd Jesus. And on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and below the ages he writes 1, in the center he writes 2, and above in the cornerstone he writes 3. And above he writes, Jesus came in three names, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Son of Man, well, he puts that below, notice, at the one, the two, which is the Son of God, which is in spirit, back there during the ages, but notice that at the end of time, he comes as Son of David, and we already see how it is, that the Holy Spirit that was in the ages, well, he comes incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ with the title of Son of David, and there in the cornerstone he writes 3. Because he listed them above, 1 Son of Man, 2 Son of God, and 3 Son of David. The 1 and the 2 are a little bit cut off there. Now, he continues saying here, in the message that we're reading, a little bit further on, he says, in the message, Spirit of Truth, preached in Phoenix, Arizona, in North America, on January 18 of 1963, on page 7, paragraph 43, it says, it may be my going home time. It looks very much that way. If it is, there will rise somebody after me that'll take the message on. He'll be an odd person, but he will rise after this and take the message on. And you listen to it. As long as it is scriptural, stay with it. Now notice, he wrote there, he left a writing for us there, another messenger comes after me. How can I hand this sword over to somebody else who packs the truth? Remember that from age to age, each messenger had the corresponding portion of his age to bring the word, which is the sword, and passed it on to each messenger. The Holy Spirit is the one who passes on that sword, that word. Notice that the one who has access to the Book of Truth is the Archangel Gabriel, and therefore he is the one who gives the revelation and has given the revelation in every time. and he gave it there, notice, to the prophet Daniel. We see him giving him that revelation. Now, at the end of time, notice here in what we are about to read, how he identifies who it is and who he's referring to when he says that he's going to hand that sword over to somebody else. Let's see who he is and where that somebody else would be and what he would be doing and what would be carried out by the one who would have the two-edged sword at this end time. And therefore, he must be alive in the midst of the church, as simple as that, to be able to fulfill what God has promised, to give the rapture in faith to the church bride, to be taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and for the 144,000 to be sealed. And that happens before the great tribulation. That happens before the resurrection. Therefore, he must be a messenger who is in the midst of the church with those ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, the Son of Man with his angels, to carry out that work in the midst of the church bride, giving her the rapture in faith, and that is where the Hebrew people will see him. If they will see him, it's because he must be in the midst of the church in a veil of flesh, carrying out that work. See how simple it all is? Everything is simple, but it's only revealed to those to whom God gave the promise that he would come for them as a thief in the night to give them the rapture in faith and for them to be transformed. Those who are not going to be transformed will not see it. He continues saying here, in other words, Reverend William Branham says that after him, somebody else would rise who would take the message on, just like after the first messenger, St. Paul, a second messenger, rose among the church in another age. Then in the third age, another messenger rose who took the gospel, the message. Then came another age, the fourth age, and God raised another messenger. Then came the fifth age, the sixth age, the seventh age, in which God raised a messenger with whom he opened each age. Then, for this end time, the forerunner of the second coming of Christ tells us that somebody else will come who will take the message on. If you find that other person, you will receive the revelation of the seventh seal. The voice of God will be speaking through him. That voice of the seven thunders will be revealing the scriptures to us, the word of God for this end time, and we will receive the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Reverend William Branham said that somebody else would come after him, the one whose way he is preparing must come, because he is the forerunner of the person who will come after him. And we were told that in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the mystery of the seventh seal will be made known. The thunders will be sounding there. It will be the voice of the mighty angel of Revelation 10 speaking to his church as a lion of the tribe of Judah. So then, there we would be identifying already the one that he foreran. It has to be a messenger who is living at this end time in the midst of his church in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Further on, he continues to say in this same message, it is the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit manifesting himself at the end time, in the fulfillment of what was promised and what was forerun by Reverend William Branham, the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. He laid the foundation for the second coming of Christ and for his coming to be identified with the message that he brought for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let's be prepared, because at any moment, the Lord will leave his work of intercession. He will go from being the high priest interceding for the believers to turn the lion into the lion of the tribe of Judah, king and judge of all the earth. This was in 2017. Notice, there he was still telling us that he was carrying out the work as a Lamb of God during the dispensation of grace. He was not carrying out the claiming work as lion. During that time, there will no longer be an opportunity for people to be saved. because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will have already been completed and there will no longer be blood on the mercy seat in the heavenly temple of God. We are at a very important time in which at any moment Christ will leave the throne of intercession and become the judgment throne, and Christ will become the Lion of the tribe of Judah, King of kings and Lord of lords, and His voice on earth in His church. Where do the thunders sound and where the thunders heard? Brother Branham says in Is This the Sign of the Answer? That the thunders are heard on earth. In heaven, in the sixth dimension, the thunders don't sound. No activity is being carried out there. The action is here on earth. There is silence over there. And His voice on earth, in His church, will be crying out as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. In other words, Christ will be speaking consecutively among His people. The angel of the covenant of Revelation chapter 10 will be speaking to His church, and then the message in Revelation 11 is the content of what the thunders speak in Revelation chapter 10. We see the two olive trees there, because John the apostle represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with His messengers. Therefore, he represents the church with the messenger at the last day as well, to eat the title deed, the seventh sealed book, and then prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues. And in Revelation 11, it appears that the two olive trees, the two candlesticks that stand before the God of all the earth, are the ones prophesying over many nations, peoples, and tongues. There we can see the ministries of the two olive trees, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah being repeated at this time to call and gather the elect of the last day. The 144,000 Hebrews of the end time, those are the elect of the end time among the Hebrew people. Now, that is what he spoke to us about on page 359 of the Book of the Seals, where he tells us, but Jacob said, I'm not going to leave you. You cannot go. I'm going to stay right here with you. See, I want things changed here. That's that 144,000, that money skimming bunch, and things like that. When they see the true, genuine thing to get a hold of, there stands Moses and there stands Elijah. Notice, who will be there? Moses and Elijah, those ministries in the instrument that God has at this end time. They will wrestle with God until the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel are called out right there. And he writes there in that margin, Revelation 10 from 1 to 7, and above he writes 11 from 3 to 7, and 7 verse 2, and 14 verse 1. That is the mighty angel, that is the angel who comes with the seal of the living God. That's just before the tribulation period, see? Oh, how wonderful. If it happens before the tribulation, and they would see him in the midst of the church bride, bringing the rapturing phase, then the resurrection has not happened yet. Oh, how wonderful. Then two prophets, they preach like John the Baptist, the kingdom in heaven is at hand. Repent, Israel. Repent what? Repent from your sins, your unbelief, and turn back to God. Now, he continues to say there, they will be in the millennial kingdom. They will tend the church and the Lord in the millennial kingdom, just as the eunuch tended to the queen in different kingdoms. Likewise, the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe will be tending to the church and to the king. Look, in the Book of the Ages, the unedited one, on page 399, he tells us there, there comes, and that's paragraph 150, there comes your 144,000. We'll receive the gospel after we can't receive it in the same time the light is on the Gentiles. The Jews are denying it and hiding it. Now, when the light, the Gentiles, is taken up, There, on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the edges. Then the Spirit comes upon two to give witness to them. Then the Jews receive it, which is 144,000 of the lost tribes of Israel will receive the gospel, and the bride is taken away. And on the right he writes, the lost tribes of Israel. Now, see how all of that is what would be taking place at this end time with and through that instrument, which is the ministry of Moses and Elijah, which are operated by the Holy Spirit in the final messenger, in the Benjamin of the prophets. He continues to say later on, see how simple it is? They are the hidden treasure. They are God's peculiar treasure. And although they call the 10 northern tribes the lost tribes of Israel, God doesn't lose anything. And the evidence is that we have not been lost, nor will He lose the 10 tribes of Israel. They will be joined together, and God's kingdom on earth, called the kingdom of David, will be established, and David's throne will be occupied by the son of David, a descendant of King David, and then there will be a global kingdom that will bring peace to all the nations. That is the kingdom of God. We have seen God's treasure, and that treasure, notice, is the one that is found at this end time, because God doesn't lose anything. And those two sticks, that kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south, will be brought together again by a descendant of King David. That same feeling that Rehoboam had, the Holy Spirit, by operating in that instrument and carrying out that work of establishing the kingdom, according to that feeling and that work, he will be carrying out all the work that God has entrusted him to join together those two sticks. Now, we have seen just briefly like that what that treasure of God is, which is the Hebrew people, God's treasure. Let's stand and thus leave missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin with us again, so that Reverend William Perez may then conclude and continue our participation, and then have a worship song being dismissed in prayer. We live with us,
al misionero
international missionary
Miguel
Bermudez
Marín.
Continue having
una noche feliz,
a happy evening
llena de las bendiciones
filled
de
with
Dios.
God's blessings.